Good morning on this beautiful Sunday morning. Could we have asked for a more beautiful week? Our first reading this morning can be found in the Pew Bible on pages 467 and 468. We will be reading the entire chapter of Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is thy name in all the earth! Thou whose glory above the heavens is chanted by the mouth of babes and infants, thou hast founded a bulwark because of thy foes, to steal the enemy and the avenger. When I look at the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast established, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou dost care for him? Yet thou hast made him little less than God, and dost crown him with glory and honor. Thou hast given him dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is thy name in all the earth. So ends the first reading.
Let us pray. Gracious God, as we come before you, illumine our minds, open our hearts, help us to see your truth. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Our second reading is from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. You can follow along in your Pew Bible along on page 980. Hear these words of the apostle. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have attained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is the word of the Lord. Well, it has finally happened. Summer has finally come upon us. Seemed like it was very slow in the making. Last week was quite a doozy as far as temperature. I like a good hot day, so this was nice. When I think of summer, I think of vacation. In fact, summer is often synonymous with vacation. Growing up, that would mean getting in our Chevy Nova with our tent trailer in tow and heading out to either the coast or to the mountains. Long before tablets and computers, it was hiking and fishing, campfires, reading beside the lantern. These were the recipe for adventure. Camping was about getting back to the basics, to the fundamentals of life. As I would pack in order to go out camping for these adventures, I was always to make sure to pack the essentials. Not to overpack, because if you are hiking, then hiking becomes much more difficult with the extra weight that you would have to carry along with you. But if you forgot to pack something, you might be left without an essential piece of equipment. It is the same way with faith. These days, it seems that many do not want to be weighed down with theology and doctrine. Many want a streamlined and easygoing faith, a faith that is easily acquired, which doesn't take much work or discipline. But the problem is that this kind of faith can leave us ill-equipped, especially when trial comes our way. It will not truly satisfy. There's one thing that we never have to worry about when we study the Apostle Paul, because Paul is always there to give us a deeper understanding of Christ and God's work through Christ. Even a single sentence is enough to provide substance for hours of thought and contemplation. As pastors, we are Bible and theology enthusiasts. Sometimes we can provide too much content when it comes to studying Paul. Our sermons can become weighed down with Greek and theological terms, which often tire our listeners. It is better to find a balance so that we are lifted up, but we are provided for on our journey. There is no better passage to understand Paul than today's passage, Romans 5. It is essentially the heart of Paul's ministry. But to study Paul is not for the faint of heart. He was a genius, often called the founder of Christian theology, specifically called by God for the task of spreading the gospel across the Roman world. But what about Jesus? Was not Jesus the founder of Christian theology? Jesus was more. As Paul points out, Jesus is the reason and inspiration behind Christian thought. But it was Paul who was called by God in order to organize and communicate God's great plan of reconciliation through Jesus Christ. Today's passage, we begin with the essential doctrine of justification by faith. Paul writes, "Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God." Justification of faith is a term in which most of us have heard, yet it is a term that we often misunderstand. As theologian and biblical scholar N.T. Wright notes, justification by faith and salvation are often connected and placed side by side. We think of them as being synonymous, but they are not. Justification is a legal concept. I used to enjoy courtroom crime drama shows, and I'm not talking Judge Judy or The People's Court. I would like Law and Order, and before Law and Order, there was actually, some of you might remember Matlock. Remember Matlock? And even way back before there, that was Perry Mason. Oh, yeah. Amen. I also enjoy reading legal fiction such as John Grisham and Michael Connelly. In courtroom fiction, the criminals typically are sent to jail and the innocent are set free. But that isn't always what happens in the real world. I think why crime drama often is so attractive to us is because it gives us a sense of law and order in a world that seems so chaotic and unjust. In the same way, Paul uses legal concepts to convey to us as Christians, to assure us, telling us, although life seems chaotic and unjust, that God has a greater plan in store. He writes, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God. Paul says that we have peace currently with God, that it is something to be found in our present condition. It is something that we already possess. He says we are justified by faith, not that we were justified or that we will be justified. It is not something that will take place, nor is it something to acquire. But it's something that we are given right now. We have the power of justification to bring us peace and reconciliation with God. How do we achieve this? Paul tells us in the next phrase, through our Lord Jesus Christ. It has been suggested that faith and salvation are like a cross, where faith is the horizontal and salvation is the vertical. Faith is what we do, while salvation is what God does. This makes for a simple object lesson. But Paul says that salvation and both come both from God through Jesus Christ. It is Jesus Christ who brings us salvation and faith. They cannot be separated. For salvation refers to the act of being saved, rescued from ourselves, rescued from our sinful nature by God. Justification is the verdict that is pronounced by a judge. To be justified is to be pronounced as correct or not guilty. But this pronouncement is yet to come. When Jesus returns, the dead are raised, the earth is redeemed, God will establish his kingdom on earth. Then we shall each receive judgment. It is at this time that those who have accepted Christ will be pronounced justified. It is the promise of our justification in which we have peace. For this promise was made upon the cross. And when we look at the cross, we can be assured of our faith that we are at peace with God. It is not that which we have done, but that which was done for us. For we are completely reliant upon God. Justification is something that will happen in the future, but it has happened now presently for us. For Christ has been crucified for us. And the peace that we experience now. Because we know the outcome of our trial. The evidence is on our side. Jesus is our star witness. And it is by his blood that we have been redeemed. He has rescued us from ourselves. Our verdict is secure in Christ. Furthermore, Paul says that not only do we know the outcome, but we boast in our hope. We boast that we are saved. Because of Christ, we are justified. Now, as a child growing up, I was always taught not to boast. Another translation is celebrate. We do not celebrate in our own actions, but we celebrate in the actions of Christ. We do not celebrate separate to separate ourselves from others and place ourselves as better, but we celebrate because we have been reprieved and set free. We have been given a gift of salvation by the grace received in Jesus Christ. It is not in ourselves that we boast and celebrate, but it is in Christ. He is the reason we can celebrate. But to Paul, we also are told that we boast in our sufferings. Not in some masochistic way, but that we know the one whom shall deliver us from our sufferings. It is often Christian communities which have suffered persecution that understand this concept best of all. The early church faced many persecutions. They often went to face trial and even execution with the knowledge that God would lead them through. I think of our African American brethren who have often suffered unjustly at the hands of a system which has placed them beneath others for nearly 400 years. And yet, it is often our African American brethren which show us the joy, which show us that we should pursue justice. In their suffering, they have found reason to celebrate because they know the God who will answer the injustice which has been done. God will vindicate them. He will provide judgment to all for all the wrongs that have been done throughout time. In the end, the world will be made right, including against those who have brought suffering and persecution. Each of us will stand before God as our judge. The problem with prosperity theology is that it too easily passes over all the wrongs of the past and says, as long as you pray to God, that you will be blessed. But God tells us that until his coming, we will not know justice. We will not know a life without suffering. The Bible does not let us off the hook so easily. There will be a time when we must answer for our crimes, for our unfaithfulness. We will be presented before God's judgment seat, and our wrongs will be accounted for. It is not in our wrongs that we are pronounced right. God does not glance over our wrongful actions and our sins. It is God, though, who has taken on our sins on our behalf. But they have been accounted for. That is why we must accept Jesus' grace into our lives to account for our sins. We celebrate that there will be a time that all will be made right once again, that there will be justice, and God's kingdom shall reign supreme. In our sufferings, we find a time to celebrate, not the wrongs done against us, nor the wrongs in which we have done, but the right which has been done through Jesus Christ. By accepting Christ, we who have done wrong have been set right, and those who have seen wrong done to them will be set right as well. In faith, we are justified through Christ. It is this amazing justice of God which can turn us around. It is this amazing justice which turned Paul, one who sought to kill Christians, to become one of the greatest preachers of Christ in our time. So too, John Newton, who once captained English slave ships, accepted Christ and became an abolitionist, who became a clergyman and penned the most loved hymn of all time, Amazing Grace. Who wrote Amazing Grace, how great the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. In Christ we too see. We see the wrongs of our past, but we also see the hope of the future. We are given the opportunity to stand next to those who have been persecuted, to stand on the side of justice found in Christ. We can put aside the side of privilege in which we have been born into, stand next to those who have not known that privilege. It is a time to suffer with our brothers and sisters and say that we will accept it no more, for we have been justified by faith through Jesus Christ. Together we stand to promote the welfare of the world for all humankind, to set right the wrongs of this world, and to work for God's kingdom. Friends, brothers, and sisters, hear these words of Paul. You have been justified in faith through Jesus Christ. Receive his peace. promote God's justice. Await that day when all men will be free, and we will know what it means to live together in God's perfect kingdom. On that day, we shall walk with Christ. For God spoke through the prophet Micah. He has told you what the Lord requires of you: to do justly, to love kindly, and to walk humbly with your God. Amen.